Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined today with Chris Williams and Dr. Joel Hubbard, and we're so glad you tuned in today. We will be taking your calls for the next couple of hours, 1-800-229-3000, and I know it is a busy time of the year. We all have 15 million things to do on our to-do list, and we need to get them done. And so it can be really frustrating when the things don't go right. And I was just talking to Chris about, you know, a lot of us don't have a lot of capacity for the things that will go wrong. And, you know, we're preparing for our Emotional Freedom Workshop. And one of the things that we've been talking about is sometimes you might need to do some work if you're stuck. But I also think you might need to do some work if you don't have any room for the bumps and the disruptions in our day. And this morning I had to run to the grocery store. You know, it would have been just like a 5-minute run. And while I was there, there was a woman who in the checkout lane was having a real big fit about the fact that her ham wasn't deducted in the discount that she expected. And so what was happening is she was taking it out on the cashier. It was very frustrating. And you obviously can see where I'm going with this. She had no capacity to deal with that. Chris, what would you say to someone who might be at their limit in their emotions and things like that just kind of trigger all kinds of problems?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is I'm sorry. It is a really, you know, I know that this woman, she lost her stuff at the grocery store. She's probably embarrassed. People are embarrassed for her. But really, what I would, if I could sit down and have a conversation with her, I would say, you know what? It wasn't about that thing. It wasn't about that. But in that thing is going to get all of the attention. Losing your stuff at the grocery store is going to get all the attention. But that's not what's really going on. That was a tipping point. That was that one drop of water that hit the cup that was already full that spilled it over. I said, let's get to work and let's try to figure out what got the cup filled with frustration and angst and anger or bitterness or sadness, whatever it is that filled that cup up. What's going to happen if you don't address what's underneath it, you're going to hit tipping point after tipping point after tipping point and be more and more and more frustrated, miserable. And guess what? People probably aren't going to want to get close to you. So let's go to work on that.
Well, and you know, it always reminds me of, you know, when the cup, just to use your metaphor, when the cup gets spilled, that liquid goes everywhere. Yeah. Goes on the unsuspecting bystander, and they just came to work today. Well, they didn't know that they were going to have to deal with your spill.
Yeah, and it's not water, it's poison in that thing, right?
It's, it's acid. So good. It's acid, right?
Well, I'm going to take a risk. I, a couple weeks ago, when I was thinking about Advent, you know, I like to write these little passages, but they're really for me. And Advent's about the narrative that God is trying to write into our lives. And I said, I lose the narrative when I stop listening to the narrator. Ooh. Advent is about directing our attention from the loud noises of the alluring intensities and distractions of social media, political outrage, relational dramas, as well as our own fears, insecurities, incessant ambitions. And it really helps us redirect towards an unremarkable, obscure, humble story of vulnerability, trust, and an uncommon new way to live. Ooh. Advent reminds us the ways we've lost the narrative of truth and grace and invites us back to the story of the great good narrator speaking truth and grace back into our very common stories.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And we can have the peace that he brought in this time of Advent. We're going to take your calls right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We hope that you are having the best Christmas season, but if you're not, you can go and take an emotionally freedom quiz. I know that's not the right title of it, but you can see if you are emotionally free. You can go to our quiz at newlife.com and click the link. It'll take you 2 minutes and give you some insight. And, you know, it's funny because the story we started with, you might not need to take a quiz if you're, like, getting mad at the cashier, right?
So I was going to say, I don't think many people need a quiz this time of year, right?
Yeah, totally.
But we want to direct you there just so that if you are, you know, looking forward to having some more capacity, to having a life of peace and awareness, we would love to be part of that. And our emotional freedom quiz is a way to do that. You know, Jill, we were talking about, you know, just how stretched everybody is.
Yep.
What is something that you would suggest to someone who is at their limits, whether it's Christmas or not?
Well, I think we always have to kind of pause for a moment,
mm-hmm.
breathe, right? And kind of mm-hmm. take inventory. Right?
Yes.
Because our bodies tell us a lot. And sometimes we're unaware that we're tense, we're all in knots, and we just have to somehow breathe it out mm-hmm. and stop and say, okay, where am I at this moment?
Yes.
And slow it down, because I can get hyper frenetic. And, mm-hmm. and my kids, I always say they're a great barometer for me because they're like, Mom, take it down a notch, right? And so if you find people reacting to you and you just have this, right?
Yes, yeah.
You have to
What
breathe.
Is one of the narratives, though? What are one of the narratives, though, Jill, that people, when you find people reacting to you, what is something that maybe the script that someone says? It might be, well, they did it, or it's their problem. Have you ever heard that, you know, where people kind of put their stuff off onto others, and it's really them? Am I making that clear?
Yeah, well, the fancy word for that is projection.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So,
well, I know
my
that,
son, my son did that this
everybody.
Morning.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, my son has
your
a school.
Fault.
Yeah, it has a school store, and he had these things he was selling. It was actually golf tees that mm-hmm. he was selling, and they were laid out. And we had a bunch of people over this weekend. We cleaned everything up. Couldn't find them, and so he was blaming, mm-hmm. you know, my wife and I. For losing his things, you know,
yeah.
his really important things when mm-hmm. he himself left them out and all this stuff. But really, underneath that, is I find an intolerable experience in me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to own it. Usually that's due to shame.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to offload it on somebody else because
mm-hmm.
it's just too much for me.
It's too much. So,
yeah.
So any little thing you can then blame someone else for. And it's almost absurd at times.
Truly.
Right?
If Jill was different, if Jill was on time, my life would be better.
Yes. Thank you, Chris.
Wow.
That's an example of projection.
I didn't know I had that much power in your life, Chris. Wow.
There you go, Jill. That's good. Well, but it brings to mind, I think that's a great awareness, though, of who do you give your power to?
No, it's really yes. good, Becky. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, yep. and I just, it's really, you know, it's, I think the biggest thing that we can do to move forward is recognize that our feelings are valid and we're going to have them, but it's not always that we have to resolve them at the point of contact. And I think mm-hmm. that's where we get kind of upended when, you know, we don't get the discount we thought we were going to get at the grocery store.
Yes.
And it,
right.
you know, taps into all
or
the
it's
things.
It's triple the amount, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we then go into, you know, like you guys were saying about the projection, I'm not going to have the perfect Christmas meal and the family's going to think I'm less than. And that goes mm-hmm. back to my childhood mm-hmm. thought process. And it's really a tangled mess. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I'm so, you know, I'm so encouraging people to go to the Emotional Freedom Workshop, because it can help you sort some of that stuff out.
Yes.
And,
for sure.
And I know we spend a lot of time with that, but, you know, Chris, why don't you talk a little bit about what are some of the things that get all tangled up inside of us in this journey of life? What are some of the issues that people kind of, you know, get tripped up on?
Well, I'm just going to start with the big one, and that's fear. And it's too much to unpack here, but it's one of our most primal emotional experiences because it keeps us alive. But the problem with it is how big it gets and how it it overwhelms us. You know, many of us are dealing with, like, I'm making up a story about the woman in the store, but, you know, just imagining how financially overwhelmed and scared she may, or many of us may be. And so we're running really tight budgets and we're surviving on these things. And when we find out, when we work hard and to save a dollar or to save whatever, and we find out that it's not, and we feel like that's the thing that's going to ruin us.
Right.
Fear, well, fear has now taken over, and it takes over us very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And here at Christmas time, to not, you know, Christmas is a tough time of year anyway, financially for a lot of people.
Yes, yeah.
And then to not be able to do maybe even the minimum that you usually can eke out, right? And to find that falling short, so all the disappointment, the fear of letting people down, even though we know that that's not really the heart of Christmas, we have all our traditions that somehow, you know, bring us joy, right?
And not only that, but let's take that a step further, because then we start narrating a bad story about ourselves.
Yes.
You know, it's financially scarce right now. It's a little bit tight right now, meaning that I didn't do my job, or I'm not good enough, or I can't do it. And then the jealousy. Everyone else seems to be enjoying, you know. And we just start this, this avalanche of bad narratives that we can get overwhelmed by. And that puts us in a pretty dark place pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would wonder, what would be, so if fear is the issue, what is one step forward to resolve some of the fear?
Well, I think there's a lot to go underneath that to look at the stories. But one thing, one tip I want to give us right now is one thing. I was talking about the mathematics of Mary and Martha. We think that the story is about Mary chose better because she chose to be with Jesus, but the scripture never says that. It says Mary chose better because she chose one thing. And Martha was consumed with many things. This season and in our lives, less needs to become more. And so here's what I do with myself. When I'm overwhelmed by life, which I can get there pretty quickly and pretty often, I give myself one thing to focus on. And so, for instance, today, when there's a lot of different things going on, the thought, the narrative I'm looking for is looking for the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's my only job today.
I love that.
That's great, because, you know, that's really hard for an ADD person.
Totally.
To just look for that one thing. And I'm always thinking with the Martha and Mary story, like, well, if Martha didn't do what she was doing, nobody would have eaten that day, right?
Right, totally. Yeah.
So we do need the Marthas, but... she was missing the main point.
Yes, and I think that is the point. If, like, Martha was doing good things, but it says she was consumed with them.
Right, right.
We can't be consumed with all of the things.
Yes, and I love that, because it's, as a mom, right, it's really easy, especially this time of year, to be consumed with making everything happen.
Yes.
And you almost have to get to a point where you surrender that.
Yeah,
that's And you
right.
just allow what is to be and for it to be good enough.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. So join me. If you're out there, you struggle, join me, help me, have solidarity with me. Of looking for goodness, the goodness of God in the land of the living today. That's our one job.
I'm going to do that.
Love it.
Well, and Chris, I want you to join me, and I want you to pick the phone call, because we're having some technical difficulties today, but we are taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. So if you have a call on your screen there, Chris, that you can see, and you would select it, that would be great.
Hey, we're going to stay on the West Coast. We're going to Joanne in Los Angeles, California. She came to us through a referral. I don't know what that means, but that's fantastic. I love that.
We're going to find out. All right. Well, welcome, Joanne. How can we help you?
Hi. Our son is 30, and he's really, really depressed. He's been depressed since he was about 5 years old, but he was able to somehow manage to live. And he's gotten worse, and now he's quit his job. He had a union job, and there's a whole story to that. I don't know if you want to know it, but like very succinctly. But he's just staying home, watching videos all day, every day. He's not even showering. He's just really, really depressed. He does not want to go on medicine, but he needs it. He's tried it before when he was about 19, two different medicines. They did not work, and he just refused. He said, I'm not going back. They have side effects. They made him tired, all of that. And so I don't know what to do. Like, what kind of language do I use to tell him, in order to continue living here, you need to go on medicine. You're not going to get better. You're not working. You see no future for yourself. You're just absolutely miserable. And he's made me depressed now, too. I'm anxious. I'm depressed.
Yeah,
I can barely get up in the morning. And it's like
I'm so sorry.
You know, a mom is only as happy as her least happy child. That's
so
exactly
true.
What it is. I'm miserable.
Joanne, I hear you about the medication. I wonder what else he's tried, and is he willing to come up with a plan to do something about his depression? Medication. Because medication alone, we know, doesn't do it.
Well, he'd have to see a psychologist or psychiatrist, too, in order to even get the medicine. But I know so many people who have tried the medicines, and it makes them normal. And he needs to just at least be normal. But he's been taking supplements, a whole bunch. I've done a ton of research and, you know, trying all of the supplements that can help. And he says they're not helping. I've made a list of, like, these are the things that supposedly help with depression: being on a schedule, get up in the morning, get little chores done, try to get out in the sunshine, get a little bit
Joanne,
of exercise, that kind of thing.
Joanne, let me ask you this. Are you the only one in his life, or is there dad, siblings, neighbors, family?
My husband, too. There, he has no friends, no girlfriend. Nothing like
well, you
that.
Said this has been going on since he was five. Does he have any working diagnosis that, you know, even when he did go see a doctor?
Well, just that he was depressed. Yeah. He's also he has learning problems too, like ADD and some learning problems, but he's kind of, when he was in this program, this apprenticeship program, he did well in the classes and he wasn't taking any medication or anything. He did well doing the work, but anyway.
So, Joanne, you're doing a lot of work for your son's depression to no avail.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay, so the first thing I want to encourage you with, which may sound discouraging at first, is if it's not working, stop working harder than him. You know, and that, I think that's what Jill was going with, is like, does he have a plan for this? Now I do this, I'm going to contradict myself, okay? Because I believe your son is in a life-threatening situation. And it may not be imminent, but it's there. And that level of shutdown that he's going into right now is again, it's a dangerous place for anyone to be. It's miserable, if nothing else. And so, yes, I do think that drastic measures do need to be taken and that he needs to be a willing participant in those. But I do look at, but one of the things I want to start with or look at, it may be a little bit different direction than what you thought of, but I think you guys should get into family therapy.
That's a great idea.
Okay. And when you did it before, how did it go?
Well, he was about 16 years old or so, and we were just talking to the therapist and trying to give him an overview of everything, and that's as far as we went. I think we went 7 different times, and it didn't seem to be helping and at all, and so we stopped going. He decided he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go in the first place.
Right.
He's very anxious talking to people.
Hold that thought, Joanne. We'll come back after the break. We're going to continue taking callers at 1-800-229-3000. And maybe you can relate to something that Joanne's, you know, having difficulty with. You know, this is a tough time of life when you can't get ahead of the depression that is overtaking. But we know that there's some plans and some processes that we can help her out with. But, you know, maybe you need some help as well. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And if you're traveling this holiday season, you can listen to New Life Live either on the radio or you can download the app and your whole family can enjoy it in the car on the way to the family reunion. You might get a little pointers for how we're going to behave with each other. But right now, we were talking with Joanne on the phone about her son who's struggling with depression and kind of stuck. So, yes. Jill, do you want to carry on?
Yes. So, Joanne, okay, so I'm going to jump in with another slightly contradictory statement. And that is, so we're telling you to maybe take a step back. And I think in your energy and your anxious investment, that's where we want you to reel that in. You almost have to be able to, like I was saying in the intro, breathe and take the energy out because our kids feel us, right, as moms and as parents. And so that anxious energy and sense of urgency will make him anxious, okay? And that will, likely make him more resistant. Okay, so someone who's depressed, though, they often can't mobilize and initiate or advocate for themselves.
Right.
And so it's coming alongside and doing the pieces that he can't do, but then having him take as much responsibility as possible. And if he's saying no medication, okay, I don't know that I would come in and demand medication. I would come in with, okay, we see that you're struggling, okay? You're not the only person who has struggled like this. They're developing new research and new ways of treating depression and difficulties all the time. Let's explore other options. We've tried supplements. We did the family therapy. We've done these things, but we can't give up here, right? And so there are different things that we were talking about at the break, like we're strong supporters of Amen Clinics, where they do the brain scans and look at where the areas of the brain where a person is under or over functioning, and then can more target specific go for those areas and have interventions. There's, Chris, you mentioned brain spotting. There are different brain treatments. For people that are medication resistant, there are, made huge advances in ECT and different brain treatments that actually can help a person get past difficulty. And I think exploring some of those other options may give you guys a little hope, as well as you can go to a psychiatrist. You don't have to take medication, but they're expert diagnosticians. And maybe fine-tuning the diagnosis, too, because we're hearing a lot of things that you described that certainly go along with depression, like the withdrawal, isolation, and those things. But it also goes along with other diagnoses, too, that may be working here, that may be why you can't seem to get past it. And so we want to encourage you, Joanne, to not give up, to come alongside your son and to have your husband as well and say, we're going to go and explore new treatments and we're going to try to honor your anti-medication, but let's see what we can find out.
So Jill and Chris, what do you think would be helpful for Joanne, though? Because what I understand is we can get all wrapped around the axle, so to speak, that our whole lives get around the person who seemingly has the presenting problem, but it multiplies. You know, it's kind of like a contagion. And so what would you say to Joanne and her husband to move forward in this?
I would encourage them to explore boundaries, and especially the internal emotional boundaries. That though the deep ties to our children, the deep ties to our spouses, what they do and how they show up does affect us, but we still have the capacity and capability to own how much and to what degree, and ultimately be responsible for our own emotional state and how we show up. That takes a lot of work and a lot of insight. And one, you know, CODA, which is a codependent recovery 12-step group, is a great way to do that. But I would also really invest in checking out the book Boundaries and exploring boundaries.
Well, we'll send her a copy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think, too, I think in the short term, I think requiring some things of your son.
Yes.
Now that you bring up boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Because you did say he thrived when he had structure.
Mm-hmm.
So tasks where he has to perhaps leave the house every day, even if it's only to go to the mailbox and get the mail and bring it in every day.
Yeah.
But certain things that you require of him in order to be there. And if he can't do the bare minimum, you know, then you're looking at, okay, does he need to go on disability? Does he need a board and care?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is his level of functioning?
Yeah, do we need an inpatient program here?
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Chris, is it may be time for an inpatient, you know, and just a reset for everybody, because his life is going right in front of him and he has so much to offer, and we want him to thrive in this world. And we want you to as well, Joanne. We're going to send you a copy of Boundaries. We have some treatment centers that we have connections with, and if you hold on the line, we'll get you connected to one of our ministry representatives that can get you connected there. It may be the next step for your son, and in a healthy and safe place. We're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to hear from you. We are here to help you. And, you know, we've got so many resources. We've got workshops. We talk about it all the time, but I think sometimes we got to do something for ourselves. And we many times are thinking about other people, but we need to take that step for ourselves. So we want to be part of your new life, your transformed life. And I hope you'll give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, this time of year, we're so grateful for those who have been giving all year because it helps us do all the things that we do. And I just want to read you a testimony. You know, I was in the Counselor Network forever and was privileged to be part of, we've got great people all across the country who are helping you. And she says, I'm a counselor in your network and wanted to send some encouraging news. I got a call today from a former client. Prior to seeing her years ago, I had seen her newlywed daughter and husband who were having severe marital problems. I had several sessions with the couples, but they left therapy somewhat abruptly after I identified the husband's sexual addiction and told him he needed to attend every man's battle. I didn't see much hope for them. The wife's mother called me today for a different reason, but she mentioned in passing, oh, by the way, you saved their marriage. I asked for clarification. She revealed that her son-in-law could not handle my advice at the time, but he did end up attending every man's battle, and it changed his life. Mm. He's been in individual counseling since then and has had regular accountability. Their marriage has thrived, and they had a child. Her mother gratefully shared, I just got back from my granddaughter's birthday party. Now, wow. If that's not something we're celebrating, yeah. I don't know what is. Isn't that amazing?
That I just is. I love that. It. You love know, it, and sometimes it. We never know the impact,
yeah,
right? We don't hear. So that's wonderful.
I love it. Well, we're going to keep helping people. We're going to go to Joanne, who's calling us from Los Angeles.
Talked to Joanne.
We're going to go to Layla in Ventura, California. Yep. She's watching us on YouTube. We're so grateful for our YouTube family, and we hope that you will like and share and subscribe to the channel there. But enough about that. Layla, how can we help you today? We're glad you called.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really nervous. I'm kind of embarrassed. So I'll just start off with my question. I feel so stuck in this narrative for years. My question is, should I invite my narcissistic ex-husband, who I believe now love-bombed us and allegedly bought us the house that my son and I are in, over for Christmas, even though I don't feel he's a safe person? He uses money and now this house to control me. And I know he's sleeping with like 5-6 different women, and I don't want to be around it. But I don't know what to do because I'm in this house now. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I can hear the pressure that you're feeling, Layla. Let's hear what Chris and Jill have to suggest.
Well, I'm just wondering, Layla, so he bought you a house, and I don't know if this was recently or not, but was there a clause in there that said, and I get to spend every Christmas with you, even though I'm sleeping around?
No, there was no clause, but I kind of felt obligated to extend that offer. The house was recently bought in September, so it's only been a couple of months.
Okay. So I'm imagining that while you were married to him, there were a lot of feelings like that, that probably a lot got put on you, and the feelings of obligation, and like you said, he uses money and things. And so how can you say more about that, those feelings of obligation? And is that something characteristic of you over a lifetime?
It has been, but being in therapy, listening to the show, being in a connect group at church, I know that that was not a healthy characteristic. So I'm unlearning those patterns. And I don't want to be that person because I don't think God created me to be a doormat or a punching bag. And it's this, I feel like there's no support because everyone around me feel like they're not safe anymore. It's everybody from my old story. And it feels so strange to stand up for myself and not invite, even though we're in this house, that obligation for me to be a good Christian girl and do the right thing. But it doesn't feel right to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm denying myself, and it's hard.
Yeah, so here's a thing. So, Layla, there are really, really, really important things that we need as human beings that can never be purchased. Being safe in our own bodies can't be bought, but it can be provided for, and he cannot provide you that, and so he has no business being around you. And so when we start finding and discovering this through a lot of courage, and it does take a lot of support, our own sense of self and well-being, we understand that, to Jill's point, he made a horrible mistake if he wanted to be in the house because he didn't put a clause in there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe as a restitution, he bought you a house for the incredible amount of pain that he caused you. And here's your answer, Layla. Thank you. Period. Mm-hmm. And put a period at the end of that sentence. And then your job is to make that home a safe place for yourself and the people who come into it to put up their feet on a coffee table and be able to feel the most honest version of themselves in their story.
And I wonder, even the question of the clause, I mean, Layla, what was the agreement in the divorce as far as you know, custody. There's lots of things that get discussed in those kind of things. Have you had to share custody? Is this the first Christmas that you're having to make this decision? What has that been like since the divorce?
No, every Christmas has been awful for the past, seven Christmases. It was his way or the highway. Don't go through any lawyers or I'll hide all of my money. And if you do that my way, then tell me what you need and I'll give you the money. Everything is and on his terms, his money. I just feel like it's very abusive and I have to report to him every month to get the child support. And it's so stressful have to be in contact in that way.
So Layla, I want you to hear a term. I want this term to become very familiar to you. It's called fiduciary abuse. Fiduciary abuse is a term of when people use their money to abuse other people, whether that be the provision or the withholding. And so his money is just one more tie to his abuse, and probably the primary one. And so I want you to see his money as a curse rather than a blessing.
What am I supposed to do? I have a child.
Well, I know. So here's the thing, Layla, and I hear the two sides of you warring, okay? So to be the good Christian girl, which I would completely question that, because good Christians need to have boundaries, right? We don't, like you said, we don't allow ourselves to be doormats. But there is, in divorce, and this is a thing, divorce is when you have a child is never truly, you don't ever get rid of the person, right? So you just get all the things you didn't like. And so there is a little bit of having to be wise and smart, right? At the same time, the divorce, do you have a divorce settlement agreement?
No, it's just, it's on his terms.
So you did not go through a lawyer at all?
He wouldn't let me.
Okay. Well, let me just say, Layla, you're not his property. If you are, and are you legally divorced?
Yes.
Okay. I think that you need to seek some advice. You can go to someone without hiring them and have a consultation. And let them know the predicament you're in. Because legally, now, the legal stuff doesn't cover everything, but there are some limits within the law that can help to protect you. And you need those on your side. Because you're right, you're being completely controlled by him. And you do need his money, right? And it's kind of the way the whole system is set up is unfortunate because you need the money and it puts you in this predicament of still being beholden, right, to the person who's abusive. And they dance around the line of where the courts would recognize it or
not. Well, and Jill, I agree with you. And Layla, you know, that we're glad you called. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. But, you know, when you started the call, you said you were embarrassed and you were afraid and you were nervous. This is what this relationship has done to you. And you're not married anymore. So we got to find a way for you to get saved.
So no Christmas.
Yeah, no Christmas.
No Christmas invite.
Let's start there. And Layla, I want to give you one principle. Yeah. On the backside of control is fear. He's more afraid of you than you are of him. Take that to the bank. Really put that in there. In your heart, in your soul.
Yeah, we'll get you connected with a counselor. Hold on, Layla. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And, you know, it's tough situations. But we know that we're on the outside and we can see that there is a pathway out. We just got to, you know, help you get there. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us today, and we're still taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. For the next hour, we've got some calls, and we've got lines open, too, so we want you to join us tonight. I want to reiterate just the gratitude that we have for all of you who are giving to New Life, because it makes it possible for people to experience transformation through the workshops, through the radio program, our counselor network. There's so many ways, and we want to be there for you. So I just wanted to say a big thank you. And with that, we'll go to our next call.
Chris, did you have another comment for Layla?
Oh, I think we were just saying, like, I know we've spent a lot of time on this, but like, I thought of the rich young ruler, and we need boundaries. Jesus had boundaries. And we tend to think of the rich young ruler as rich. We forget that he was a ruler. Most likely he ruled through his money. And Jesus said, that will not work in my kingdom. That will not work among my followers. So you're going to have to leave that behind to be able to follow me. And he couldn't do it. Jesus set that exact boundary that that Layla needs.
Right. So we really want to affirm Layla, and not extending an invitation. You don't have to, you don't have to say anything, Layla.
Yeah.
That's
you
right.
just don't
That's
extend
right.
the invitation, right?
All right. Yeah. Well, now I want to extend an invitation to Chris, who's calling us from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and listens on the app. And you can listen on the app if you want to download it wherever you get your apps. Thank you for waiting, Chris. How can we help you today?
Yeah, what an honor it is to be with y'all today. My curse, if you will, I guess would be sexual addiction for since back in junior high. And I appreciate just listening to previous podcasts and all, just all the different insights y'all have regarding that topic and same-sex attraction and all that stuff. So anyway, I've gone through the I've gone through counseling and I've gone through life recovery 12 steps two or three times. So all of that has been great and beneficial, and I've made great strides, thank the Lord. So my question today is, I'm forgiven by God. I know that for a fact, just biblically. There are other people that I've sought their forgiveness and have received that forgiveness. What does it look like tangibly to forgive myself?
That's a million-dollar question right there, Chris. I'm so glad that you asked that. I believe, like, when we go into our fourth step in the traditional 12 steps, we're looking at a moral inventory. We usually look at resentments, and we forget to put ourselves at the top of the resentment list. You know, that we end up, in our sexual addiction, we end up resenting ourselves more than anyone on planet Earth. And so working through that resentment, I think, is crucially important. But part of that is, I think, building more empathy for your own story. It's when we can go back and we can start and we can really, really dig deeper into the origin story of ourselves, our relationships, our hurts, our pains, and the way of the progression of the sexual addiction, that we can say, hey, I may not be able to forgive adult Chris, but I can forgive junior high Chris that fell into that thing and that didn't have the direction, that didn't have the whatever he needed in his life to work through it then. And then you just start progressing that, forgiving each iteration of yourself and your story.
Right. And Chris, if you've been around other junior high boys, if you can bring someone else to mind and think about the compassion you have for them or would have for them in a similar situation, and then picture yourself. Because a lot of times it's like you could be very compassionate, but there's disdain for that little boy. But you're no different than other junior high boys today that are struggling.
Exactly.
Right? And you are equally as deserving of the compassion that you would bestow on someone else.
You know, one of the stories that Steve Arterburn himself tells us all the time about when he was dealing with some past regret, he thought it was his job to feel as bad as possible. Like, if he could feel bad for the rest of his life, then that would add to you know, God's forgiveness. And that's not true. Right. But I think a lot of times when we struggle with not being able to forgive ourselves, it's because we get something from it. We feel like we are deserving of that bad feeling. And it's hard to rewrite that narrative, but it's where the life-giving starts, because you've done the work, Chris. You want to walk in that freedom.
Right, like, right. Jill, so, Becky, yeah. like flogging oneself is yes. saying that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough.
Right, well, that we have to add to it.
And I think oftentimes, especially, I mean, I think this is universal, but I really think it's doubly strong in sexual addiction.
Sure.
And that is this, that somehow forgiveness and grace leaves me off the hook for all of the salacious behavior mm-hmm. and damage mm-hmm. done. It does not. Mm-hmm. Or I think a very subtle but powerful assumption is that grace is permission to stay in it. And I always say this, you know, if people's like, hey, if you fear that grace is permission to stay stuck in your sin, I hate to tell you this, brother and sister, you have not experienced authentic grace.
Mm.
Authentic grace reveals mm-hmm. that's what, the beginning of John, right? Truth and light, truth and grace come together. When we're able to see the totality of what's going on in our life, through the light, through the truth, mm-hmm. and we apply grace to it, I'm telling you, we want to run the other direction from our sin as quickly and with as much support as humanly possible.
Mm.
And so yeah. grace keeps moving, you know, to the great song. It is grace that taught my heart to fear, and it's grace that will lead me home. Both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And grace, my fears relieved, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
And Chris, you asked the question of what does forgiving myself look like? It looks like the man that you now are in Christ, as opposed to the version of your past self. And I think for all of us who are walking in recovery, we have got to keep the new man in front of us because every part of our history wants us to be stuck in the past because that's where the trap is. And mm-hmm. we have this benefit, the grace that Chris is talking about, you know, to live free and move forward. And you didn't mention, Chris, about going to Every Man's Battle. I don't know if you'd be interested, but we've got one coming up in January, and that might be a good place to continue working in this direction. We're so glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of, what do you think, Chris?
I think the 1 year Bible for Men or the Life Recovery Bible.
Oh, I love that. Okay. The 1 year Bible for Men. We'll send that your way. And as we're going to keep taking calls in the next hour. So hold on. If you're on the line, you can call us 1-800-229-3000. But Chris, I'd love for you to wrap us up with, you were talking about Advent at the beginning of this hour. And just a way, you know, we're talking about grace. Isn't the grace of God revealed in the baby, Jesus, that, you know, we received at Christmas?
Yeah, I think what strikes me over and over and over at a deep level about the Christmas story is how audacious it is in its vulnerability. That there isn't a dangerous, risky place in our life that God won't take great lengths to go to and to get into and to bring us new life, to bring us new birth, to bring us a life, even in the midst of it, you know, and say this about, you know, you have an unmarried, impregnated, teenage, Middle Eastern, impoverished girl. You have a homeless situation. You have a refugee situation. You have all of these situations that God says, I am with you in these most risky, dangerous, hard, vulnerable places. And that, for me, is really the story that I want to find myself in.
That really is. Merry Christmas, everyone, and glory to God. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jill.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.